Christ is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter." I think it's a wonderful gospel message from Mark's viewpoint. The Lord has laid it upon his heart to keep things fairly short and sweet, but to make sure that people understand that all that Jesus ever said would happen actually did happen. And in this verse here, we see that they're to go and tell the disciples and Peter. As we gathered very early this morning in Falmouth Bay, the sun always rises, of course, but it actually rose and we saw its glory. And actually the sunlight was reflected on the sea, and a straight line from, as it rose up over St. Maul's Bay, there was a straight line of sunlight straight across where we were standing, absolutely dead straight. And it just came to me that actually the direction of travel is always straight towards the Son of God. That's the way it's meant to be. We take all sorts of convoluted routes and we don't necessarily get there when we ought or how we ought. But there's a straight line to him. And actually in this story, I think it's being emphasised here in Mark's Gospel that actually the apostles, the disciples, were struggling with the truth of what Jesus said would happen. Struggling with the truth that he had been crucified. We look through 21st century eyes on a first century event. We have all the information at hand. And as God reveals it to us with more understanding by his Spirit, what this actually means, we have the benefit of hindsight. They did not have the benefit of hindsight. And I don't sense that this story is about putting down the disciples or the apostles and Peter. But actually it's about ensuring that all of them found their way back into the Lord's embrace. That's got to be at the heart of all this, the key of all this. And there are many, many people that I know and you might know who have had a faith and it's been there, but maybe for all kinds of reasons it's just gone to the back of their lives. It's gone on the back burner. And they need something to actually help them find that straight beam that takes them back to the presence and the power of God. And he will do it in his own style, in his own way, very gently, but he will help them find their way back into his presence. Because he's always seeking us out, searching us out, trying to help us to make sure that we understand what has happened is true. He wants us to understand that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Absolutely. And isn't that wonderful? That's the greatest news that anyone could ever hear. But it takes a little while for some people to hear it properly. It's very interesting in that Paul puts in his letter to the church at Corinth that actually he said that the Lord appeared to many, many people. But this time it says that first of all, Jesus appeared to Peter. So this is a bit later on. Okay, Peter. And then to the 12. Peter needed to be sustained. He needed to be restored into fellowship with Jesus so that he could be what he would become, which is the leader of the church. And he had a really important role in the life of the church. And you'll find all of that written in the book of Acts. He needed to hear the words of Jesus for himself. And all the way through the next few weeks, during the Easter season, we will hear about the way in which Jesus sought out various individuals and made sure that they realised he was alive. And I wonder where you stand in relation to that truth. We're presumably all here because we believe that Christ is risen. And he is risen indeed. But sometimes we don't grasp the reality of what that means. And the importance of what that means. Because Jesus actually is the first fruits of the resurrection to eternal life. We believe that what happened for him is going to happen for us. We believe that when we die, we will go to be with the Lord. And one day there will be a bodily resurrection. And all the aches and pains, all that kind of stuff that you feel now, one day, you won't have any of that when you get to be with our Lord. But more importantly, actually, the eternal life begins in Christ at the point at which you believe. You don't have to wait to die to be with God. You start now. It starts now, eternity. There is no separation from the love of God for those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. No separation at all. And I think that's a wonderful promise that God has made in his scriptures to us. It's for all of us to believe. But not just for us to believe. So in the scripture where they're told to go and tell the disciples and Peter, I do believe it's incumbent upon us, as the Lord leads, to help others to find their way back into the sheep pen. People who have believed years ago, maybe they were baptized many, many years ago, but they kind of slipped out the back door. Well, we might have missed them, but God never does, ever does. He's got his eyes out. His eyes range throughout the whole world, looking for those who in some way have shown commitment to him. And his promises are true. He's looking for those who have loved him and who do love him, but just not quite sure what the next step is. And just as the sunlight was dead straight towards the sun, it's the easier route. It has to be said, it's the easiest route, is to see where God is and just submit to all he has for our life. Sometimes we choose to go this way or this way. And we want to do things our own way, and he'll let us do that. Kind of call that God's permissive will. Doesn't mean to say he'd let us go, but his permissive will is to let us take whichever path we choose, but he never loses sight of us along that way. And he's looking for us to turn back and to get in line with him so that we can feel the full benefits of the resurrection of Jesus in our lives. And the more we pray and the more we fellowship together in the presence of God, the more he fills us with the very life of Jesus. That's what we need, the very life of Jesus, to live this life. And all of those trembling disciples, all those fearful disciples, eventually would be invigorated on the day of Pentecost to do a mighty work. And we are the fruit of that in the 21st century. And whoever comes after and whoever was before, we're the fruit of what God did in their lives. We're the fruit of the fact that Jesus took time to meet with people who had lost their way, to bring them back into the fold. And he never will stop doing that. Even for me and even for you, when you choose not to follow him, he'll be watching and he'll be waiting and he'll be rejoicing when we get back into line with him, because it's what we need to do. And he'll seek us out. So I think it's incumbent upon us to pray for those whom we know and love and who perhaps in the past they've had a profound faith or just a glimpse of who God is. Pray for them, just quietly. Don't tell anybody else. God alone needs to know who we're praying for. He'll do the rest. Sometimes he'll want us to have a word for them, to speak to them about it. Sometimes, when it's appropriate, to speak out. You know, Jesus is alive. We should be celebrating this for all it's worth and for all our worth, because it's the greatest news ever that we could have heard or share with other people. So they were told, the women were told, he is not here, this Nazarene you were looking for, who was crucified. He has risen. Do you believe that? Take that message unto yourself and make sure that in the way in which you live, and maybe in the way in which you speak to and witness for Jesus, speak about these things that others too may hear. They were promised that he was going to go ahead of them into Galilee. Well, I believe that Jesus goes ahead of us in our lives too. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is always going before us in our lives, preparing the ground for that which is to come. We just need to spot those things and be aware of those things. And as you go on and follow him wherever he leads you, you will see him. You will see him in other people. You will see him at work in people's lives as you allow him to open your eyes to what he can do. Because he can do more than we can ever think of, really. We kind of limit him in so many ways. But he can do amazing things. Wherever we pray for, we do so believing that he will touch people's lives. People in our family, among our friends, and in this wider world. And this world needs this truth. That truth is, Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Let us pray.